I'm just going to get a quick timer out. It's very important. Because you think you look at your watch, it's going to work, but it's not going to work. So, good morning, everyone. So as you guys know, my name is James, and I'm married to Genevieve at the back over there. She's one of the round ones. There's other round ones here too. We are expecting our second kid in March. Sorry, I'm allowed to say that, I hope. And so, we're very excited. Please excuse our son if he's very loud. He's discovered his voice now, so he can be very, very loud. So I'm super excited to share just a little bit of my story with you guys this morning. And I'm really trusting that it's not just I'm here to share my story and then we all go home, but that we see something of the evidence of God. We see that Jesus is real. There's a real person, that he works in our lives and he transforms us. And that we would be transformed by him, not by my story or by anything that we say or do this morning, but transformed by the person of Jesus. And that's for all of us. Like, half of the stuff I'm sharing is for myself as well this morning. But I'll start with, while we're in worship, the Lord just reminded me of the beginning of a story. And I just want to say, if you have been in church maybe your whole life, maybe you've been in church for a week, maybe you've never been a leader, maybe you think you don't even have leadership on your life, maybe you don't even know who Jesus is, like, and you're sitting in this place, you don't even know how you got here. That's okay. It's all right. Because the title of my preach is, How on Earth Did I Get Here? I was literally prepping this morning, and I was thinking, oh my hat, how on earth did I get here to this place? And I'll tell you guys why it's titled that. But it doesn't matter how you got here. It matters that you are here, and that it's no coincidence that you are here. And so I want to start with a story about a couple that were not leaders in the church. They're believers. They're actually in Josh Jen in Sunningdale, and they heard like a prompting, like a nudge from God to move all the way to a place called Richards Bay. Who knows where Richards Bay is? Few of us. For those of you that don't know, it's a little, quite an ugly dorpy, very small town, all the way in KZN, like close to Mozambique. There's some beautiful areas. But they decided to go and follow God and move to this town where they actually didn't even know if there was healthy church or not. And they had their kids with them, so it wasn't just them. They had two kids with them, and they moved there. They weren't leaders. They weren't dynamic people. They weren't gifted. He actually served coffee in church. And along the way, while they were in Richards Bay, they met a young dude that was very, very lost, very, very high on weed every single day, and had absolutely no purpose in his life, and that was me, James. They met me in Richards Bay, this little dorpy, and they attended a church for a long time, but they couldn't find something, like, it's almost like the church they're a part of ruined them, because they learned this way of life that was so special and so full of the life of God, and they tried to join a bunch of churches, but it's almost like God didn't place them in a church, and then God spoke to them about planting a church. And that is the exact time that they met myself in Richards Bay. And I was, at the time, jobless. I was working overseas on yachts, and I was trying to become like a yacht captain, and I was going to be very successful in that because I've been a sailor my whole life. But I had visa issues, and so I was stuck at home. I had some bucks in the bank, but I was spending it all on basically partying and weed and drugs. That was my life. I loved to go to raves. And I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I took pills, I snorted powders. I'm going to be very, very honest with you guys. I hope it doesn't shock you guys. And I smoked weed every single day of my life. I can honestly say for about a year, I smoked about 20 to 25 joints a day. Not joking. I'm not over-exaggerating. That was my life, and that was my God, basically. And so just to give you guys a little brief overview of what my life looked like, I was dead. I was fully dead. I thought I was alive. I had the life. I had the Instagram account going, I was a surfer, I was on the yachts, I had money, I had friends, and I had all these cool things going, but inside, I was dead, completely dead. And that is when they met me, and he said to me, James, I think you should come and work for me at my Kauai smoothie bar. And I was like, bro, I work on yachts, why am I going to come and serve smoothies at your Kauai bar? And he's like, just do it in the meantime to keep busy, you know, and I was just a friend with him, I didn't even know he was a believer. And I was like, okay, cool, you know, I'll go do that, like, working full days for, like, 3,500 rand a month. And I was like, okay, that can be my weed money, you know. Then I'm not spending my savings. And I started working for him. One day he approached me and said, James, I'm planting a church. So I was like, I don't. What's planting a church mean? I know what a church is. I'm a Christian too, bro. You know, that's so cool. I'm also a Christian, and like, I believe in Jesus, and he, like, you know, all the language that I'm pretty sure every single person in this place knows that language in South Africa, right? We're all Christians, until we realize we're not Christians actually. And so he looked at me a bit funky, and he was like, "You should come and join me someday." And so I started attending this church, and I would attend church high, actually. I would smoke a few joints before going to church. And then in church, I would get so uncomfortable, and I would, like, sweat, and I would just, it would be such an uncomfortable place for me. And I realized, okay, if I want to enjoy church, I need to go sober. And so I started going to church sober, and just, I can't go through all the details, but just through a period of a few months, God started reeling me in slowly and slowly. So before I get ahead of myself, I'm getting very, very far ahead of myself. How on earth did I get here? Okay, how did I get there? So it's good to start with scripture. So I'm going to read through Ephesians 2. And we're just going to go through piece by piece. And basically, Ephesians 2 for me explains my story completely. And I'm pretty sure for many of you guys, it'll also explain your story. And it starts off with showing that we're dead. And then it shows that Christ makes us alive. He gives us a seat in a place. And then he gives us work to do. And so if we look at Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says here, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air." That just means you were dead. When you followed your sin and your own flesh and your own desires, you were dead. And the Spirit, it's speaking about the Spirit, who is the enemy, who is the devil, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And so basically, we are designed for God's presence. And without God's presence, we are going to live a life eternally, like, unsatisfied and empty. And that is where I found myself in my hometown in Richards Bay when I met Gerrit Lutz, is his name. I'm sure some of you guys will know who he is. I met him, and I started attending church. I was dead in my transgressions, completely dead. I didn't know it, but there was a part of me that knew that weed was not going to be the thing that would fill my life. But it seemed like for a period it would do. And I'm sure many of us in this place have got certain things that we rely on in our lives. We're like, this will do for now. But for now it will, not forever. And so we were dead in our transgressions. In verse 3 it says, "All of us also lived among them at one time." And that means all of us, no matter who you were, if you were a Jew, if you are a perfectly holy person, no matter who you were, we all, the Bible says here, we all lived among the disobedient. We all were sinners at one stage in our lives, all in need of Jesus, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And so just before we carry on, I just want to share a part of my testimony where God really, really came into my life. And so through the year of 2017, I spent a lot of time with this man, Gerrit, working at a smoothie bar and surfing with him and going to church every now and then. I would often drive the road to the beach, because I love surfing. The road to the beach was right past the church. And every now and then the waves would be firing. I'm like, I'm not going to church, I'm going to go surf. Because like the scriptures say, I would follow and gratify the desires of my flesh. I wanted to surf. And he would be standing there. He knew. He'd be standing. He's also a surfer. He knows the waves are firing. He knows I'm going to go past. And he'd go like this. I'm like driving, you know. And I drove one of my dad's old Buckies. It's the only Bucky that had a cattle cage in the whole town. So it's like, of course it was me. Anyway, so he kept an eye on me. And then in 2017, I'm sure many of you guys have heard of 412. There's a conference every year called the 412 Conference. And he invited me to go with. And he said, "Hey, Brew, like, I'll pay for your ticket. You can get hosted over there. Why don't you just come try it out? You'll go to Cape Town." So I'm like, okay, awesome. I've got friends in Cape Town. But at the same time, my older brother, he's 5 years older than me. We are very, very close. And he said, "James, Brew, Rocking the Daisies is coming up," which I'm sure many of you know is a big festival, big rave festival where you can just go party and gratify the cravings of your flesh as much as you want. And it was right after the 412 conference. I was like, "Oh, two birds, one stone, let's go. I'm going to go to the 412 conference, and then I'm going to go jaw with my brother at Rocking the Daisies. It was a perfect plan. And so I went to 412 conference. I had my first real encounter with Jesus where I was sitting there, and this man on the stage just made a call. And I remember just almost like floating, standing, tears pouring out, and just floating all the way to the front in response, and having all these people surround me that I didn't know, and they were just praying for me. And I remember feeling the love and feeling the presence of God. And I'm like, oh my goodness, God, you are real. This is incredible. The next morning, I couldn't wait to go to the next preach, the next worship session. I was just hooked. And it came to the end of the conference. And Gerrit invited me to go to coffee. And I was like, no, bro, I've got to go see my brother now. I'm going to Rocking the Daisies. And I thought he was going to be, that's so cool. And his face just dropped. Like, here's a man that's just paid for my 412 conference tickets. He's investing himself into me. And I'm telling him, no, I'm going to go and party. And I ended up going, and long story short, on the last day of Rocking the Daisies, basically, for those of you that haven't been to one of those big raves, it's probably the devil's playground. And at about 2 a.m. in the morning, you get to this tent, kind of like a big dome like this. It's massive. And everybody there's on under the influence and on drugs. There's people selling pills everywhere. I mean, the stuff you see at those things is just ridiculous. And I was under the influence of many different drugs at the same time, and you really are not in your right mind, and I was severely under the influence. And I found myself at the front where the big DJ is. Like, if there's a big DJ stand here, and if you can get to the front, that's like you're very cool, like you're in the best zone of the tent. And I found myself standing with my hands open like this, with my eyes closed. And in a moment, it was not my own thinking. I was severely under the influence. I wasn't in my right mind, as I mentioned. In a moment, it had to have been a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Dropped him on my mind, just the slightest thought. He didn't speak audibly. I just knew it was God. He said, you were doing that 2 days ago at church. And I like realized, like, whoa. And I opened my eyes, and I'm standing in the front of a big crowd. Everybody just absolute sinning beyond. It's the lowest of lowest places. And here I'm in the front. And I thought again, what am I worshiping? What am I actually worshiping right now? And I knew in that moment, I'm worshiping the devil fully. As innocent as I am, I'm a Christian. How can you worship the devil if you're a Christian? And I think it's a lie. It's a lie from the devil that if you're just a Christian, you can live how you want. It's not true. And in that moment, I was sobered up, and I had a choice. I can carry on going. I met a group of people that I was partying with. I could have carried on going, and I had a choice. You leave now and you never do this again, or you carry on now and you'll get whatever you want in this world. You'll actually get whatever you want. And I chose to turn around and walk out of that place. And I can't say I chose properly. It was hard. And as I was walking out, I started looking at the faces of the people. And because now I'm sobered up, I mean, that's a miracle in itself. I was under the influence of a lot of things. And suddenly now I'm sober. That's an absolute scientific miracle. And I started looking at the faces of the people, and I just realized where I was. I looked at the pictures on the walls of the places. It was all demonic, all severely demonic. And I had a big shock in my system. I came to my senses. The Bible speaks about us coming to our senses. And I came to my senses. I ended up finishing that whole weekend, going home, and just being rocked by that experience and choosing, okay, God, I'm going to go on this journey with you. I'm going to give my all for this journey with you. And I want to carry on here. This is when I started to discover that God is real and that God has a great, great love for us. In verse 4, it says, but even though we're dead in our transgressions and we have got nothing in this world to offer us, but because of his great love for us, because of the love of Christ, God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. So the first scripture said, what by nature deserving of? Wrath. The mercy keeps us away from that wrath. We don't get what we deserve. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. In that moment, I believe God made me alive. I believe he really made me alive in that moment, because I was fully dead, and I thought I was living the life. But in that moment, in that party, in the most dead place I've ever seen in my life, he made me alive, and he made me see what I was doing. It is by grace that you have been saved. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. Mercy, we don't get what we deserve. Grace, we get what we have never deserved in the first place. Carries on, you have been saved by grace, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And this is just such a beautiful picture of what he does with every single one of us. And I want to say, even if you've been a son or a daughter, or maybe a father and a mother now, wherever you are in life, maybe you didn't live such a sinful life like I did. Maybe you didn't find yourself in a rave. Maybe you've been a son or a daughter that's honored your parents your whole life. Maybe you've grown up in church. We are still in need of Christ, and we are still deserving of wrath, no matter how good we find ourselves to be. And so your testimony, whether you did drugs or not, is as radical as mine. There's no difference. And someone needs to hear your testimony. I want to challenge all of us. Your story needs to be heard by people. So in the Old Testament, there's a beautiful story. I'm not going to go through the whole thing just for the sake of time. But King David gives one of his enemy's descendants, who's now actually lame in his legs. The name is Mephibosheth. Difficult name to say. King David gives his enemy's descendant, that's a lame boy, a seat at the king's table for the rest of his life, restores the lands to this boy, and that is what he does with us. Without Christ, we are crippled at heart. We are dark, we are dead, and we are empty. But what Christ does, the king, just like David did, he takes us as his enemy, because the Bible says if we are without Jesus, we actually are enemies of God. You don't often hear that. I didn't hear that when I was growing up, that you're an enemy of God if you don't have Christ, if you don't live for him, if you're full of sin and you don't have the Son of God in your heart, you're an enemy of God. And he takes us and he puts us at his table, a seat at his table for the rest of our lives. In fact, for the rest of eternity. When we were dead, he gives us a seat at his table. And I know in Azers, you guys have been speaking about the table of God and sitting with God. And that is God, what God does with us. Isn't that incredible? So salvation is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. And so how I met Jesus, moving on from there, I'd now been taken out of this radical life where I lived for myself, and I decided I'm going to follow Jesus. This man, Gerrit Lutz, with a few other of the leaders in that church, took me to Mozambique on a ministry trip, and I found myself trying to, like, they were like, hey, bro, go share the gospel with those fishermen, and they were Portuguese fishermen. And so I tried, I failed dismally, but there was a sense that a new desire had birthed in my heart. I want to be like these guys. Like, I actually want to be like them. Look at their families, look at the fruit in their lives. Look at how, like, alive they are and how like, alive their eyes look. You know, I want to be like these guys. And so I started following them, and I started following Gerrit in his footsteps, and the one night, on that Mozambique trip, they were speaking about baptism, and I said, I want to get baptized. And their face looked at me like with shock. Both of these guys, they were like they saw a ghost. And immediately they ran over to my bed and sat on my bed, and I was like, what's going on here? And they were like, bro, really? Do you want to get baptized? It's like they were just so astonished. I was almost offended that they were so astonished. It's like, what is it? Am I that bad? And that next morning, they baptized me at, I think, 4:30 in the morning with the sunrise. I got baptized in the Indian Ocean in Mozambique. And there were a bunch of believing Portuguese fishermen that had given their lives to the Lord a few years back. So they witnessed my baptism, a bunch of Portuguese fishermen and two guys from the church. And straight after I got baptized, it was the best thing ever. A little shore break wave came, and I actually caught a body surfed and I got a little barrel. I was like, man, that was so from God, you know? You know, when you just meet God, everything's from God. Like, someone gives you a croissant, and you're like, oh, this is from the Lord. Everything's from God, and that's good. I actually think we mustn't lose that thought process. Everything's from God. It's good. So I started following these men, and in the church, And I think the part that I really, really want to touch on is the people in that church. Like my hometown, Richards Bay, does not produce very, I'll put it this way, they produce very weird people. Like, you know when you get like generations of generations that just live in the same small town and they never leave? They get very weird. And that's, my friends were like, that's the town. And you get like a couple of guys that move in from Cape Town for the industry there, and they're like the coolest people you've ever met. And it's probably similar to Aces, I don't know, but Aces is also quite, you guys are quite cool as well. And so when I went into that church, there were maybe like 20 people, and they were so weird. I had nothing in common with them. The only person that surfed was Gerrit, the guy that reached out to me. The rest of them were all Afrikaans. And I can kind of speak Afrikaans, but you know, it's difficult to relate to guys in the early days. And I got to know them, but after a while, I realized that these guys really loved me. They really, really loved me. None of them were, at the time, gifted preachers. None of them were like healers. None of them were radical people. You know what I mean? They were just ordinary saints in the church that understood how important it is to love those that come in and love those that are outside the church. And it is so important. I think if it wasn't for obedient saints in a church, I'm not apostolic and elders and all these gifts and all that, just obedient lovers of Jesus reaching out, I would not be here today. Because God can do what he wants, but that's how he's designed it. That's how he's designed it. If God could reach everybody and he just didn't want to use us, he would do that. But he wants to use all of us, everyone in this place. I would even say that it was the people, and I'm not saying this to anybody that's sitting in the back of the church right now, but everyone that sat at the back of that church, those are the guys that reached out to me. The guys that never sat in the front, they never preached, they never did anything out there. Those were the guys that just came and said, hey, bro, come brow with us. Come for a walk on the beach with us. And I found myself loving these people more than I loved my friends that were cool people, you know. I became best friends with a guy called Divan Bonzaier. He's actually an elder now with his wife's pregnant. He's doing amazing. And we had nothing in common. And all he wanted to do was preach to me the whole time. I was like, bro, can we just like do something cool together for a change, you know? And so obedient saints is the reason why I'm here. And I want to encourage all of you guys. I had a thought, how many people like myself are roaming the streets in this town? And it just takes an obedient saint to say, hey, come to church on Sunday. Hey, come to community. Hey, do you like coffee? This in the simplest way, if you got something in common, like Gerrit knew that I surfed. She said, bro, let's go surf together. And that is how the church is going to grow, and that is how you're going to experience the life of Jesus like you've never experienced ever in your life. And if you have never been bold enough to invite someone to church or to preach the gospel, I want to challenge you today. Jesus has designed you to reach people, every single one of us. And there are people waiting in this town, waiting for your testimony, waiting for your hello, your greeting. You have no idea what's going on in people's lives. And just to testify like on how good God is, I lost my father back in 2015. And I think that was one of the reasons why I sort of became even more rebellious and relied so much more on drugs to fill my life. Because he was a great father, very, very solid, amazing. He loved me. He was incredible. And we lost him to cancer. And so I was fatherless. I had no man to watch over me. And throughout the year of 2017, I sort of started following the church and following the ways and learning about God. It was a long process. And then in 2018, I joined TMT, or it's called LEAP. I'm sure you guys have heard of that. Very random thing, but the church paid for me to go. I think they knew this was one chance to get me in the church. And so they were like, we're going to pay for your tuition fees. So they sent me to Wellington to go learn more about Jesus. And in February 2018, that is when I met the Van Vuren family. And I met them on the beach because I wanted to surf, and I had no wetsuit, no surfboard. And we reached out to Signature. You guys know Signature Performance Gear. It's a surf company that my father-in-law owns. And we asked them, do you guys have surfboards for us we can use? And they said, yes. And the first day I met Ivan, my father-in-law, the first day I met him, God spoke to him and said to him, you need to father this boy. You need to be like a father to him. And he had no idea that I'd actually lost my father. The first time he met me, and you know what's very cool, is there were no waves in Malpos. And so we drove all the way here to Azers, and we surfed the whole day here in Azerfontein. And that's when I met Jenna, who's my wife, and the whole family has just transformed my life, being a part of that family, and then being a part of this family, the Josh Jen family, and the church. And so God is amazing, and now here we've got two kids on the way. So just a few years ago, I was in the most dead place I could have ever found myself, and in a few years, God would give me a family and entrust me with children and a wife. That is how good God is. He gives me a seat at the table. I eat with the God that created me. And I hope that this is developing a bit of a desire in your hearts. Like, our God is a radical God. He's an outrageous God. He's not a God that just gets you saved on the one day and then, oh, the angels celebrate because you've given your life to God. And then that's it. No, He gives you a purpose and He gives you work to do. And so Scripture carries on and says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, in verse 8. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. And so God doesn't leave you where you are. He gives you a purpose and a job to do. And that is to reach the lost, that is to love Him with all your heart, that is to be a part of a body. And so I want to encourage you, if you find yourself in a place where you feel like you're a bit of a dormant Christian, you're in a place where you, yes, you're saved, but are you really in a relationship with God? He's a radical God. He goes to great lengths to save you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you can get to know the Father, so that you can know that you're loved, you're created, fearfully and wonderfully made, so that you can do good works on this planet, not so that we can live for ourselves, not so that we can just sit on church on a Sunday, not even just so we can go to community and church on a Sunday. No, it's so that we'd be activated and made alive in Jesus, so that when you guys go, when we go as a church, we go into the streets and we greet someone, just by a greeting, they say, you've got something that I want. Like, can I have coffee with you? And I see that happening here in Azers, and I can see the life in this place that people need to discover, and I want to encourage all of us. Like, do you find yourself in a place where you're like, actually, I want that. I want to be a radical Christian. I want to be a radical follower of a radical God. Do you find yourself in that place? I'm in that place. I want to be more radical for Jesus all the time. I want to see miracles. I want to see people raised from the dead. And I can honestly say I've never prayed for a dead person, so maybe it's something I need to do. If you want to see the people get saved, but you've never preached the gospel to someone, maybe you need to preach the gospel to somebody. And I'm going to preempt you guys on this one. Probably 90% of the time it tanks. It doesn't really work. I literally went to a lady in her car in Melkbos the other day, and I was like, hey, I just have to tell you that there's a God out there that loves you. He created you before the world. He knew about you, and He loves you. He's got a purpose for your life, and He's going to give you the best life in your heart that you've ever experienced in your life. And she was like, that's random. It's like, yes, that is random. Have a wonderful day. We go to church over there. And she didn't come to church. But you know what? Maybe there's a seed planted. Maybe she's in a church now somewhere. Maybe she's crying, giving her life to Jesus. Man, we serve a wonderful God, guys. We serve an incredible God. And I want to encourage us with this. We're not saved. Like, our salvation is not, it does not require good works. It produces good works. So when you recognize that God has done a work in your life, He's given you something you would have never deserved. He saved you from the wrath of God. You realize all of that, how good Jesus is. Now I'm going to go and preach the gospel to people out of that place. Now I'm going to love my neighbor out of that place. And it's important that we do it that way. It's not like works is going to make us saved. Works is produced by our salvation. And so my challenge out there is, when you walk past somebody and the Holy Spirit, we all know this feeling, don't we? When the Holy Spirit prompts your heart to do something, do it. Just do it. Like Nike, just do it. When you walk past people, you should just see the Nike sign ticking off in your brain. Just do it. Even if it tanks, sow a seed into somebody's life today. Not tomorrow, today, guys. All of us. Today, we need to sow a seed. And we need to get Azerfontein radical for Jesus. Do you guys agree? I want to see people pouring in here and crying in the presence of God and saying, like, why didn't anybody tell me about this sooner? I wonder why my believing friends in school didn't tell me about this sooner. I wasted so many years of my life. And here we are in the presence of God. It's amazing. And my call for us is, if you find yourself, and if we can close our eyes and just, I want you just to think about your heart for a second. Look at your life. If your life was a picture in front of you, your work, your family, everything that's going on in your life, if you're finding your place in, where yourself in a place where you feel a bit dormant meaning you don't feel like you have that relationship with God, you're not activated by Him, you're not being radical for Him, I really want to pray with you. And I would love for the Holy Spirit to come and fill your heart and encourage you and equip you to recognize, God, you've done a big work in my life. I want to be prayed for. I want to receive your Holy Spirit. And so if that is you, just keep preparing your heart. Just keep preparing your heart. If that is you, I want to encourage you. We're going to give you a moment to respond to that. And then if you find yourself here this morning and you don't know this Jesus, you don't know who this Jesus is, you don't understand the fact that you are fearfully and wonderfully made to exist at the King's table, you don't know who this God is, or maybe you know who He is and you've been a Christian your whole life, but you actually have not had a relationship with Him, I'd love to pray with you. And if that is you, everybody's eyes are closed. I'm the only one with my eyes open. Would you mind just opening your eyes and signaling to me that you would love to give your life to Jesus? You should raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. If that's you and you recognize right now you actually don't have the Son of God in your life, just raise your hand. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then if you do feel like your life is in that on pause mode as a believer, would you also mind just opening your eyes and putting your hand up? And the response is, yes, I want to be a radical Christian for my Jesus. If you want to be a radical believer, please put your hand up. Just respond to God. And the reason why we do this is we often need to show God outwardly, yes, Lord, that's me. It's very easy to do it inwardly, but God says, if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before the Father. Thank you, Lord. Hands are going up everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. So if we can ask that all of us stand for a second. I think this would be a better way to do this. Thank you, Lord. If that's you, would you mind just stretching your hands out? Yes, Holy Spirit, I want to be radical for you. I acknowledge that you have saved me, and out of that place, I want to live a radical life for you. Thank you, God. My hands, I'm also responding to this, Holy Spirit. Please come and fill me, Lord. That's me. I want to be radical. I don't want to be a dormant Christian. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you see right through all the dirt. You see right through all the death. And you see our spirit, Lord. You see our lives. Thank you so much that you love us so much, Lord. And my prayer this morning, Holy Spirit, is that you would come and fill every single person in this place to not just fill a seat on a Sunday, but, Lord, actually to be radically transformed by you. Radically transformed. Holy Spirit, we recognize that it's a miracle. It's by your spirit, it's by supernatural power that you transform us. It's not just by our actions or what we can do, it's by you, Lord. And so we trust you for a miracle right now in this place, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill our hearts, come and rearrange our hearts within, come and take away the death, Lord. Pray that you would remove the death out of our lives, Lord, where we've lived for ourselves. And I pray that you'd come and fill our hearts in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So I think we're going to sing a song, and I want to encourage us, if you really want